Segundo segmento del show de Gloria Cárdenas, como todos los fines de semana acá en La Grande. 801-656-9605. 801-656-9605, el teléfono de Gloria. Hoy vamos a hablar acerca de tantas cosas que están pasando. In the news, Gloria.
The public charge. Okay, well, now the new public charge regulation just went into effect. Starts February 24th. So there's this new form that we talked about for the last 2 weeks of when you're filing for your green card here, the 944. But I'd like to talk to you now today about what happens at the consulates across the outside of the U.S. Are they, the consulate officers, are they enforcing this whole public charge? And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Muy bien. Sí, dice Gloria de que vamos a hablar acerca de del cargo público, la nueva regulación, la nueva ley que entra en vigencia en estos días, el 24 de este mes. Y sobre todo vamos a hablar acerca de cómo está afectando esta nueva regulación a los consulados fuera de los Estados Unidos.
Right.
México, Guatemala, El Salvador. Si ellos van a básicamente seguir esta regla o esta regulación, o si desde ahí va a comenzar a aplicarse esta regulación.
Well, so the consulates are run by the Department of State. Okay, so that's a different agency than if you're filing for your green card here, but
it's not immigration, Gloria.
It is immigration. It's just a different Department of State.
Okay.
So they have kind of special rules that govern the consulates. And we have seen over the last year that there are factors that the consulate will look at. And they will look at to see if someone's going to be public charge. The person's age.
Okay.
The person's health.
Muy bien.
The person's family status.
Wow.
Finances of the
money,
person,
money.
Education, and skills.
Muy bien, y dice la idea de que los consulados básicamente están bajo la jurisdicción del Departamento de Estado. Sí, bajo la lógicamente la operación de inmigración, pero el Departamento de Estado es quien controla. Y lógicamente con esta nueva forma, la I-944, que no va a ser requerida para que sea llenada en los consulados, pero en los consulados van a empezar a determinar con ciertos factores para calificar a la persona que está solicitando una visa para entrar a los Estados Unidos. Uh-huh. Y los factores son la edad, la salud, el estatus familiar, el estado financiero, las finanzas y la educación o las cosas que sepa hacer esta persona. Entonces, básicamente, Gloria, based on these factors, they are going to start basically...
They have started. Actually, it's been like almost a year where the consulate officers are starting to look at these factors very carefully. And people are getting denied at the consulate because they are deemed to be a public charge, okay?
Okay.
So in order to continue with a visa process, they have to overcome the denial. So they have to submit other documents and start over, and they have to submit the documents to show that they won't be a public charge. So what I want to go through is some examples that we have been reading about.
Okay.
Most of my clients, only one client I have is stuck in outside of the U.S. because of a public charge. And it was random and it wasn't fair to him, but we think we're going to be successful in bringing him back. But I want to kind of go through some of these examples so people are aware. And the most important thing is to be aware that there's a lot of things that could go wrong at the consulate. And that's why it's good to have a lawyer helping you through the whole process. We can't go into the consulate with you, but we can certainly get you ready for the interview.
Muy bien. Y lo que está pasando, dice Gloria, de que este tipo de factores ya los están aplicando en los consulados, ya lo comenzaron a hacer desde hace mucho tiempo atrás. Es una manera de colador, es una manera de cómo ellos pueden determinar si una persona en algún momento se va a convertir en un cargo público para este país. Por eso ellos están pidiendo o se están fijando o están poniendo más atención a estos factores como la edad, la salud, el estatus familiar, las finanzas, la educación. Ahora, dice Gloria, de que nos va a dar algunos ejemplos de las situaciones que están pasando allá. Y por eso es bien importante, dice, que usted tenga ahora más que nunca un abogado de su lado para que lo prepare en todo el proceso. El abogado no puede ir con usted a la cita o a la entrevista al consulado, pero puede prepararlo para que usted esté listo para esta entrevista. Y vamos a hablar acerca de algunos ejemplos.
All right, so let's start with when you file for someone's green card, you know, for the green card visa, the applicant, so usually like a spouse, mm-hmm, or a daughter or a parent,
okay,
or will have to file an affidavit of support. And that is like a declaration that, and you file it with the taxes, your tax returns, your federal tax returns, saying like, look, I have the money and the wherewithal to support this immigrant who wants to come to the United States. So for historically, for the last years and years and years, the government really just looked at the affidavit of support and the tax returns alone to make sure that if for some reason the person came to the United States and then took benefits, like government benefits, that the government could ask the petitioner for the money. Okay. So, and it was usually kind of, you know, it wasn't a huge, huge inquiry as to the alien or the immigrant's health, age, all that. It was more focused on the petitioner. Did they have enough dough to take care of somebody?
Muy bien. En el pasado dice Gloria de que básicamente cuando alguien hacía una petición para la residencia, ya sea el esposo, el papá o la hija de su familiar cercano, el gobierno se centraba en el estado económico o en la declaración de impuestos de la persona que estaba llenando la aplicación o que estaba haciendo la petición, no en la persona que estaba siendo pedida.
Right. Entonces, but talking about the affidavit support, so they usually had to put the petitioner, right, has to put their federal taxes. And there is a chart where they have to say they have to make 125% above the poverty line, okay? So let's just say they have to show $25,000 that they made on their tax returns, right? Now, what we're seeing is that they don't want to see you just making just enough above the poverty line. They want to see someone that has maybe 150% above that poverty line, okay?
Y anteriormente lo que ellos se fijaban es de que la persona que estuviera llenando la aplicación tuviera el ingreso necesario, por decir, el 20% por encima, no, el sí, 100%.
150% they want to see.
And before that?
Okay, so like let's say you, it depends. It was a chart, and it's, if they said you had to make $25,000, they kind of really want to see you making 125% above the $25,000.
Okay, entonces, básicamente.
So that would be what? That 100% is, how much is that? $25,000?
Yeah.
What's that? 100% of that? We're so bad at math.
50, 70, 60.
Yeah, they want to see you about 60,000, yeah, right? Just to be sure.
Yeah.
If not, you're going to need a co-sponsor.
Entonces, lo que estaban pidiendo ellos básicamente es de que la persona que estuviera haciendo su deducción de taxes estuviera 125% arriba de la línea de pobreza o de lo que se considera acá como lo mínimo, que es 25,000 al año. Entonces, básicamente estaban pidiendo 60,000 al año en su declaración de impuestos. Ahora están pidiendo más que eso, el 150% por encima de eso.
Exactly. Now, this is an unwritten rule, and this is because what we are very aware of is what the consulates now are looking for. And in fact, they have a book. It's called the FAM, F-A-M, and they have regulation now, a FAM manual that all the consulate officers have been trained on to ask and look for these specific things.
Y ahora en los consulados fuera de los Estados Unidos tienen un manual que se llama FAM.
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 Yeah.
F-A-M.
F-A-M.
F-A-M. F-A-M. Es un manual en donde se basan ellos para hacer este tipo de requerimientos o mirar este tipo de requerimientos porque ahora se están volviendo más intenso, más difícil.
Yes. The FAM is called Field Adjudicator's Manual. So that's what the if they're in the field, they're in the consulate, and that's what they have to go by.
Muy bien, vamos a ir a un corte musical y vamos a volver con más ejemplos, de lo que está pasando allá afuera y cómo usted puede sobreponerse o cómo usted puede salir avante en este tipo de entrevistas ahora más estrictas en los consulados fuera de los Estados Unidos. Muy bien, estamos con Gloria Cárdenas como todos los fines de semana. Acá en La Grande, el teléfono de Gloria, aquí le voy, 801-656-9605.